because I missed lots. With that, I'd just like to introduce Kristen Padilla. Kristen and Ben are the next gen pastors at New Life Church in Castlegar. And Kristen is going to speak this morning for our Mother's Day guest. And again, welcome. I hope that it's been a great morning for you.
Yeah, it has. It's been
and
great.
I'm excited to hear what you have to bring this morning.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Kristen from Castlegar, as Sean said. Thank you guys all for having me. It's really exciting to get to come here and just share. I like being on the ground. I'm going to suggest this for our church because it's intimidating being up there. I don't like it. This is cool. I like that I can see everybody, see all your smiling faces. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. We really want to celebrate mothers, fathers as well, but today we really want to celebrate mothers. And if you guys are mothers, or if you have amazing mothers in your life, you know they work so hard and they're just so amazing and encouraging to us. So we want to really... Am I on? Yeah? Okay. Sorry, it just sounded like I cut out. We just want to really celebrate them today. And so my message is going to be really about mothers. I've been wanting to preach on something, and this is a really good opportunity for me to do that. It's just something I've been walking through in my own life. And when James, our pastor, had said that you guys were wanting someone to come and speak for Mother's Day, I was like, okay, I want to speak from something that I have experienced. I don't like speaking from things I don't really know about in my own life. And so I'm going to be speaking on one of the struggles and the things that God's been teaching me as a mom. I have two kids, my son Caden, who is going to be 5 in July, and my daughter Presley, who's 2.5. And when I had Caden, I still remember there was this moment where I was just like, I didn't have fear throughout my pregnancy, but then around 8 months into my pregnancy, I just remember having this one thought. And it was the first time I can remember actually feeling afraid for my kids. I was working as a TA in an elementary school. And there was these kids that were bullying each other fairly, like, ferociously. Like, it was physically violent. And I was dealing with some of the stuff with the parents in that and things like that. And I remember just having this thought, like, I was 8 months pregnant. And I'm just like, man, I just wish he could just stay in there. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that sounds weird because if you've been pregnant, you just want the baby out, right? But I was like, I just want to protect this little guy because I'm seeing all the stuff that's happening out here. And this was my first exposure to like really like brutal bullying and violence in schools. And I was just like, that is horrible. I don't really want my child experiencing that. And so that was the thought that I had. It was, I wish he could just stay, was planted, and I could keep him safe. But that is when this seed of fear was planted in me for my kids. And I can look back on that point and I can actually pinpoint that moment for me. But the verse that I'm going to be kind of hinging off of today is 1 John 4:18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what does this mean, and how do we apply this to our lives as mothers, right? Because I think we hear that. We'll hear, like, don't worry, and Jesus talks about that a lot throughout Scripture and through the gospel, and that's awesome. Like, yes, we need to know that. But I think we also need to know as mothers not to be passive either, right? Because it can be easy to just let the worries of the world fall on our shoulders and just kind of carry that burden with us through our motherhood. But fearing causes pain and distress. It causes all these things that God doesn't want us to actually have to experience. And what his love does is it actually fills us up and it casts that fear out. Because his love is perfect, right? We don't actually have any other examples of perfect love, only God. And so when we are filled with his perfect love, that is when we can actually have that fear cast out of us. And so today, on this Mother's Day, we're going to be talking about this issue of fear. And how can we practically, and also not just passively, but actually go on the offensive when it comes to dealing with this issue of fear in parenting? And it's good to remind ourselves not to worry. I'm not saying that, you know, like we can't quote those scripture verses, not to be anxious for anything, you know. We need to do that, of course. The word is powerful. But at the same time, we can also do other things that can actually fight on behalf of our kids. And I'm a fighter. If you guys know me, you might get to know me a little bit. I don't really, like, go quietly into anything. God had to fight pretty hard to get me because I was just like really kind of like skeptical and things like that. But I think that's why I'm coming at it from this perspective of like fighting for our kids, right? Because it's not just like this passive thing of where you just have kids and hope they turn out okay. There's actually things that we can do as moms. And it's what's at stake is their eternity. So I would say it's a battle worth fighting for. Do you agree? Amen. Awesome. Okay, so the first point I wanted to go over today is we need to have no fear of the enemy. Okay? And in order to have no fear of the enemy, we first need to remind ourselves who that is. The enemy is not the school system. It's not the government. It's not the people who are raising kids that are bullying your kids. It's not even your extended family or anyone around you who you see as hostile toward you. It's none of those things. The Bible is actually really clear about who the real enemy is. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We have a real enemy out there. I'm not trying to stand here and say that there is nothing like bad happening in the world. I think you can look around you and see that for yourself. But he's not flesh and blood, right? It's not a person that we look at and see as hostile toward us. It's an actual spiritual force that's against us. And he's not flesh and blood, but if you would allow me to be blunt with you all, he is out for blood, right? And I think we get a little bit too passive about Satan sometimes. He's not playing games. He's not here to just like, you know, hide in the corner and wait until he goes into his destruction. He's actually here for blood. And he wants us and our kids living out as far from what God's plan is for them as he possibly could get them to go. He doesn't want us to be living close with God, walking with him. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." I heard this sermon once by a pastor named Levi Lusco, and he had this quote from there that really struck me, and I was kind of like, almost like, whoa, that's crazy. But he said, Satan actually already has a plan for your great-great-grandchild's addiction. And I was just like, that sucks. Like, I'm a youth pastor, sorry. I'm not, yeah, it's my language. But that sucks, right? Because you think about, you know, your great-grandkids or you think about your kids now and you're just like, no, like they need to know Jesus. You want them to know him so bad. But you think about that. And that actually makes me a little bit angry, to be honest with you. I'm not happy about it. But if I let it, it can also make me a little bit scared, right? It can plant that seed of fear because you don't feel like you have control. And so when you know who your enemy is and you know what his plan is, then you have to remember who's on our side, right? Because there's that side of it, but then there's also who do we serve, right? Who is this God that we serve, the God who conquers, right? And we keep our eyes fixed on him. That is powerful. When we keep our eyes fixed on God, that is when things change. And there's something dangerous about a mom who is so secure in who she is in Christ and her relationship with him and is willing to actually fight as a warrior on the front lines for her kids. Someone who says, my God is bigger than these struggles that I'm facing, than the struggles that my kids are facing, and my love for him is stronger, and his love for me and my kids is stronger. And we can remember who our enemy is, but we can also remember who is on our side and who is actually fighting on their behalf. But we can't make other things our enemy, right? And I think that's the distraction that the enemy tries to use, is he puts these things in front of us that seem like really hostile and they seem like our enemy, but then we get derailed because we're fighting against all these things we can't control and we're not fighting the way that God designed for us to fight. It could be used as a tool of the enemy, but we are not supposed to hate everyone around us just because they're hostile to us, right? God actually calls us to love everyone. He calls us to love our neighbors, love our kids, and love the people who seem to be like an enemy to us. And we don't want to teach our kids fear and hate. Instead, we actually want to teach them love that casts out fear, right? That's the goal, is to actually instill in our children love that casts out fear, including fear of our enemy, Satan, right? We don't want them afraid of anything. We don't want them afraid of him. We don't want them afraid of these challenges that they're going to face. So if we remind ourselves of who the enemy is and we point our weapons in the right direction, then we can actually go into this battle and do something good with it, right? We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to be pulled this way or that way. We're going to be going straight forward with our eyes set upon what our goal is. And so how can we fight? The first thing that we can do a lot of things, but the two things I'm going to be going over today are no fear in prayer and no fear in communication and relationship with our kids. So the first point of having no fear in prayer, we can ask God for big things for our kids, right? We can ask God for big things in general, but specifically when it comes to our kids' future, we can say to him things that are in line with his heart, and we can ask for these bold things. Some of us, like you might have me be able to relate to this. I know I did this a lot, especially in the beginning of having kids. I was like super timid in my prayer life. I was like, God, if it's your will, could you like maybe just like help my kids to know you? And I was like really just passive about it. And like I thought it was humility, but it wasn't, right? Because God actually wants the same thing, right? In the scripture, it says that he doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. Right? It says in 2 Peter 3:9, about halfway through the verse, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. It doesn't say he wants some to come to repentance. It says he wants everyone to come to repentance. And that means your kids. Right, mom? So you can ask bold things for your kids because you know that that is what God's heart is too. So we're going to be going into how can we pray for our kids? What is a strategy that we can use? I heard of this thing that I'm going to start doing. It's called prayer cards. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but you can write down scripture on a card and actually have them around your house. And then every time you see it, you can pray that for your kids. And it's a reminder to pray those things. But some of the ways that we can actually pray for our kids with a battle plan and with strategy, one is for them to be convicted of sin. Because that's not something that comes easy to everyone. If you've met someone who is just has a really hard time getting convicted of sin. We deal with this a lot with youth ministry. If you talk to someone and they are bringing up all these problems with you, and then you're like, all right, well, maybe you should stop doing this. But then there's this pushback, right? They're like, no, that's a part of who I am. You know what I mean? But they're not realizing that it's actually a sin issue. And so one way that we can pray for our kids, John 16:8 says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That means that God actually wants our hearts to be soft so that we can actually be convicted of our sin before we go too far, right? We can't monitor our kids constantly, right? I don't know if you guys have experienced this. Maybe you're awesome, perfect parents and this never happened to you. But when, you know, sometimes your kids are like in another room and then it gets really quiet and you're just like, I haven't heard a single noise for about 20 minutes. I'm getting a little worried. And so you kind of go to peek in the door. And this happened to us. I looked in the door of the toys room. They weren't in there. And I was like, oh no. And then I ran into the kitchen. And sure enough, they had taken an entire carton of eggs out of the fridge. And they were painting the most beautiful masterpiece on the floor in egg yolk. It was just beautiful. Took a photo. But we can't be with our kids all the time, right? It's not even our job to do that. We can't be the Holy Spirit in their life, right? It's not about us convicting them and nagging them and saying, this, this, and this, you need to change that in your life. That's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, right? And so for you guys, you can pray that your kids will actually be convicted from the Holy Spirit of their sin. And he can actually guard their hearts and keep them from evil. And so we should pray that the Holy Spirit convicts them. Another way that we can pray for our kids is that they would be free from the need for approval from others. And that's going to be a big one. Do any of you guys have preteens or teens? Or you've had, you have like adult children now and you've been through that stage. That is a huge thing, right? We do youth ministry. Peer pressure has gotten substantially crazier in the past 10 years since I even graduated. There are things that the kids are being, pressured into doing that are just far beyond what I ever had to go through. And so there's this need for approval, this pressure, and they're all experiencing it. There's these things that they have to walk through, right? But if we pray, like in Galatians 1:10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so we can pray that our kids will actually make choices based on God's leading and what he wants for their life, right? We can pray that he will actually do that in their life so that they won't make decisions based on insecurity or misplaced identity or out of fear or insecurity or wanting people to like them. These are things that we can pray because they're in line with what God wants too. Third way that we can pray for our kids is for them to experience God as their fulfillment. And this is big too, even if you, like, it starts when they're young and it goes into their teenage years. But as they're trying to figure out who they are, it's important for them to actually know God is the one that brings lasting fulfillment, right? Because you see that with youth and with young adults and all in that age category, they're looking for things that will bring them satisfaction. They're trying things that are not healthy for them because they think, this will make me feel better. We experience this a lot in youth ministry, from drugs, alcohol, partying, to if I have certain kinds of clothes, if my body looks a certain way, all these different things. They think this will bring me fulfillment. But they need to know that actually God is the only one that brings lasting fulfillment. Those other things are just temporary, and they actually lead you to destruction. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." God wants our kids to find fulfillment in him and him alone, right? He's the only constant that they will ever have in their life. Like, I don't think we like to think about that, but I have thought about that. I'm pretty introspective. People come and people go. Even spouses, there's a chance that you're not going to be the last one, or you're going to be the last one here, right? So God is actually, should be at the center of our kids' lives. And if they can get lasting fulfillment from him and him alone, then they'll be set forever. The fourth way that we can pray for our kids is for them to love God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God's word is a lamp, it's a shelter, it's a rock, it's a sword, which is like one of the best weapons ever, I think. I don't think guns are that cool. Swords are cool. But that's what God's word is. It's a weapon. And so if our kids have a deep love for God's word and they have it implanted on their hearts, that will make them successful. That's what's going to get them through this life. So we can pray that they will actually have those things deeply embedded in who they are as they go into adulthood, and that will stay with them. That's something that will last. We should pray for them to love God's word. A fifth way that we can fight for our kids in prayer is for them to be submissive to God. This is something that is very important. It comes with a humility piece, right? Because there's a lot of entitlement in our culture. There's a lot of, well, I like it this way, this is who I am, this is what gender I want to be, all these different things, all this entitlement that comes with, you know, living in North America and all that stuff. But what our kids need is to actually look at God's word and say, this is truth. I don't care how I feel about it. God is the one who is in charge of my life. So I'm going to submit to that. And when we pray that over our kids, it comes with this humility and this true greatness that comes from actually humbling yourself before God so that he can lift you up. Not so that you can get yourself to this point and feel good about who you are because you did all that to get yourself here. There's a difference in that and in saying, God, I am nothing without you. Like what Chris was saying, I loved what he was saying up there, because there's something amazing about recognizing where God has brought you from and what he's done in your life, and where he brought you to, right? Because of him, not because of you. And when our kids have that, that is going to bring them success. Not anything that they do, that's all just going to be temporary success. But what God can do in them, that will bring them lasting success. So we can pray that our kids will be submissive to God and teachable, that they won't be so prideful as to assume that they don't still need to learn a lot. Everyone still needs to learn a lot, right? Has anyone seen the movie War Room? Yeah? Isn't it such a good movie? If you haven't seen it, I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix. It's a great Mother's Day movie recommendation for you. But it really goes into this topic of prayer and the power of prayer. It's this mom who is actually going through a journey of learning how to fight for her family on her knees and fight in prayer. And so if you guys haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. If you're going to have like a Mother's Day movie night, that's a good recommendation for you. So there's power in prayer, and we can have strategy in it. Like I was saying, those prayer cards, or if that's not how your brain works, just like praying, having a set aside time where you just start praying for some of these things with a battle plan and a strategy for your kids. There's a quote from the movie that says, "The goal of prayer is not to change God's mind about what we want. The goal of prayer is to change your own heart to want what he wants, to the glory of God." And as this applies to parenting, we know that God has this desire for our kids to walk in the fullness of life that he has for them, right? He doesn't want anyone separated from him, either in this life or in eternity. He wants us all walking with him and having this excitement to be with him and having relationship with him. And so we can pray these things unceasingly. We can pray for the eternities of our children in this life and in the next. And we can know that we're actually fighting alongside the Savior in this. Prayer is an amazing way to fight for your kids. There's also other ways that we can do this, though. Another way we can fight for them is in our communication and relationship with our kids. I'm going to be kind of going through a couple different what that looks like, but basically we need to have no fear in communication and relationships, including verbally and non-verbally. Many of you have probably heard the most common Bible verse that has ever been said about kids ministry or raising kids, but Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." I know I've heard this a whole lot, like, on every like AGM pamphlet thing that they give you, it's like at the top of the kids ministry page, and you're like, yes, that's a great verse. But I never really thought about what it meant before, and I started kind of looking into it, and basically what you invest in your child right now, that's what's going to go with them forever, which is actually very powerful if you think about it. What you're doing now, even if your child is like less than a year old, what those things that you're investing in them now are actually going with them into their future. And it's something that they're going to take with them. And so it's not just, you know, like what we do, what we say. There's all these things that we're doing that God is actually giving us the ability to reach our kids and actually investing in them into who they will be. And this can be really good news. Like, this is an encouraging verse, because if you're investing and you're teaching your kids the word of God, if you're praying for them and you're building in them character, then it's exciting, right? Because then they're going to take that with them into their future, into how they parent their kids, and into all the different areas of their life where they're going to need those things. But it can also be a caution for us as moms, right? Because it's not just the good things that they take with them. My dad still has so many things, so much baggage from when he was a kid. And he remembers from when he was like 10 years old things that his mom and dad said to him. And he's like, yeah, he's in his 50s now. And he's like, yeah, like that time when your grandma said blah, 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 blah. And he's still dealing with that, right? He hasn't actually received healing from those things. And so it's not just the good things. It's all the things. Everything that we invest, whether good or bad, it's taking it with them through their life. So as moms, we not only need to be consistently teaching the word and consistently praying over our kids, but we also need to be okay with having hard conversations with our kids. And I don't mean like yelling at them or saying, you shouldn't do this, this, and this, and you know, all that stuff. But I mean actually getting into what is going on in their world, what are they struggling with, and being okay with having conversations that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. Because you're like, I would really rather my kid not talk to me about this. I would really rather them not be dealing with this issue. But our kids are hearing these things. And my son, he's going to be in kindergarten next year. And like that whole thought of like, keep him in here, my womb thing, that hasn't really gone away. I like remember the day he was born. I was just like, oh, I'm going to have to put him in public school. You know, I was like, dang, I'm not a homeschool mom. I tried to pretend I was for a while, but just didn't happen. And so I had to deal with this fear, and I get that, but there's some challenges that our kids are facing, and they're going to be facing if you have really young kids, that are very different than what you had to face when you were their age. And if we keep our heads buried in the sand and we don't know what issues they're going to be struggling with, and if they come to us and they're like, Mom, I'm really struggling with this and this, and you're just like, I don't want to talk about that. That's weird. You know, that is going to speak volumes to our kids, because they need that outlet that's safe for them to talk about some of these, not just the answering, and they have questions and fears. And as mothers, we need to be okay with not just the answering those questions, but actually heading up those conversations and being brave enough to be like, have you talked about this yet in your class? What do you think about that? Do you know what the Bible says about that? You know what I mean? Like, if we're not doing that, they're going to be getting all this information from everywhere else, and it's not going to be good and healthy and safe for them to know. They won't have any counterbalance. And so with these issues that they're facing, we need to be open to communication with them. And I know it can be scary. Some of the things that come up, even in youth ministry, I have this thing, I call it my poker face. And when teens talk about things with me, my face doesn't ever change from this. But then I go home later, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. You wouldn't believe what this person just said, right? And it's because there are some things that you're just like, this is scary stuff. Like, I really wish you weren't dealing with this. This is not good for you. But what happens is they don't have someone who's there saying, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Let's talk about how can we work through this? How can we pray? How can we, you know, help you on a healthier path? They don't have anyone who's doing that in their life. And so they have all this information that's just being poured into them from school, from friends, from social media, from the internet, from other people's parents. And they're just like, I don't know what to do. This must be who I am, because I had this one confusing thought and I talked to my friend's mom. Right? And so they don't know what to do. They have all this information, and the enemy's lies and attempts. We can actually get ahead of that information. We can be like, I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be afraid of these conversations. I can go and cry in my room later. I can go and like bury my head in a pillow and scream later and ask God what the heck is going on. But right now, I'm going to be like, honey, what's going on with this? You need to tell me. You need to be open with me. I'm not going to be mad at you. I just want to pray with you. I just want to help you be on a better path that's healthier for you. Right? This is what that is. There's no fear in our verbal communication with our kids. And we can actually unroot? Is that a word? Where you pull out a plant. And you have the ability as a mom to actually go in and take those seeds that have been planted and be like, that's garbage. That's garbage. You don't get to believe that, because God has made you this way. And you get to speak life into them. But if we're afraid, then what happens to our kids? Those things take root. They start to spread. They make decisions. They start to grow. That's what happens. So as moms, we can get ahead of the enemy's lies, and we can say, you know what? God doesn't see you that way. I don't care if your friend said that about you. God doesn't see you that way. I don't see you that way. We can have no fear in verbal communication with our kids and relationship with them. But the other way that we speak to our kids without even speaking is non-verbally. And if you've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words, it's very true, isn't it? You've been around someone, maybe they've said, like, I love you, but then they hit you. That speaks louder than I love you. Doesn't matter how many times they say it. Our kids are watching us, and there is much more impact in our nonverbal communication than there could ever be in what we say out loud. Our kids are watching. And if we're kind and patient and loving to everyone else around us, but then as soon as we're behind closed doors, we're yelling and screaming and slamming and throwing, that speaks way louder to them. And there's a big difference between raising your kids in the church and raising them in Jesus. There's a really big difference. If we as moms recognize that we're human, that we're in need of a Savior, that we're not going to be the best moms ever without him, that is where he can come in and shape us and direct us and actually change us to become more like him. If we consistently allow him to work on our heart and to help us to become more patient and more kind and more loving, and if we have this repentance and humility before Christ. That's a testimony that speaks way louder than any Bible story or any verse that you could ever quote them. If they see that you're humble before God, that you're not perfect, you can apologize to your kids. I apologize to my kids. I have to because I'm terrible. It happens, right? You have a bad day, and then you have to get down on your knees and say, I'm going to apologize to you because I should not have done that. And then usually what my kids say at that point is, we should say sorry to Jesus. And then it makes me cry. And we pray together because it's so important to have that humility. It's not about being this perfect mom or pretending that you have it all together. It's about saying to them, I really messed up. And they understand when you messed up. They know bad and good, right? And so you could say, I messed up. But if you say, well, that's just because I was having a bad day, you know, and you have like that heart is not showing them who Christ is. But we can have this testimony of repentance and humility, and it can show our kids what a powerful woman of God looks like. It can show our sons, this is who you should marry, someone who's humble and able to be before God and say, I'm sorry, please change my heart. And you can show your daughter, this is how I'm going to live as a woman. I don't want to be right all the time. I don't want to be better than men. I just want to be humble before Jesus. That's the testimony we want to leave for our kids. Nothing great can happen in us as moms until something great happens. Nothing great can happen through us as moms until something great happens in us. And that's what we need, is we need Christ to come in and transform our heart. We went to a conference in Kelowna a couple years ago called the Canadian Youth Workers Conference. I really love it. It's great. There's lots of information. But we went to this one seminar where they were asking this question of why are youth and young adults leaving the church? And they had done like a bunch of polls and they did a lot of statistical analysis. And what they found was that they hear it, but they don't see it. They hear us talking about Jesus and how he's this God of love and how he restores. But then they go to their home and they're like, this isn't what I'm seeing here. I think it's not really worth following. And then they leave and they get some independence and they're like, finally, I'm out from under that. Hypocrisy is not the way to lead people to Christ. I always say there's two types of hypocrites, repentant hypocrites and non-repentant hypocrites. But we always fall into one of those two categories. And so if our kids see that, no, we're not perfect, but I'm going to repent before God because he can change my heart, that's going to make an impact. And our kids will see that and they'll say, that's worth following. We are training our children up in the way they should go. It's not a question of if we are. It's which way are we teaching them to go? I heard a saying which I really like, and it says that our children will become what we are, so be what we want them to be. We have to have no fear in communication and no fear in relationship with our kids. And I wanted to share with you guys about a little bit about our story. I like to kind of share where I come from in this and why, you know, this is a topic that God's laid on my heart. I also really love testimonies. I think that they're a lot more powerful than we think, and I also think there's power in vulnerability. And so I like to share a little piece of my story every time I preach, just so that you guys know kind of where I'm coming from. When we had our son Caden, he's, like I said, he's almost five. He was around 8 months old, and I was like, I want to have another one. Like, I didn't have a really hard first baby or pregnancy or anything. At 8 months old, he was sleeping through the night, and I was like, yes, this baby thing is awesome. Like, I'm just going to keep doing it. And so we got pregnant, and I was, like, really excited. We had had no complications, and so I was just like, it's going to be great. We're going to have a baby in, I think they would have been a year and a half apart, something like that. And I actually ended up miscarrying at 10 weeks, which I was just a little bit shell-shocked by that because I was like, this is not what I was expecting. I had already announced it at that point because I just was so sure everything was going to be fine. And I remember, like, after it happened, I was just, like, gripped by this fear. I had this fear that just kind of filled me, and I was like, I didn't really recognize where it was coming from. All I knew is that I was scared. And I was really confused, And it was the first time in my life where I would probably say the enemy really took a punch at me and actually got me down on the ground. Because I was just like, I didn't know who I was. There was this like struggle going on in my mind at all times. But after, you know, seeking medical attention and everything like that, they said, you know what, this stuff kind of happens sometimes. As sad as it is, you know, like you shouldn't, you know, be concerned about anything happening in the future. This is really just one of those things. And a few months later, we were like, okay, all right, God, like we're going to try to have another baby. A little bit less excited this time, you know. And then we got pregnant again, and 6 weeks later, I miscarried again. And I was just like, at that point, I think it was like complete devastation over me. And I couldn't talk about it with anyone because this is a weird topic. For some reason, people are like, either they have one point of view is that it wasn't a baby yet, so you shouldn't be sad. Or the other point of view is that, well, it'll happen one day, it was God's will. Right? And all these things, I would talk to someone and I would get one of these two responses. And it was just kind of making it harder and harder. So I just stopped talking about it. But on the inside, I was so afraid. And it wasn't just that I was afraid of pregnancy. I was afraid of everything. I was like, I can't let my son go too far away. I'm like, I was micromanaging every single thing that he did because I was just scared he was going to, you know, get hurt too. And so this was kind of what was going on. It was this fear that was just gripping me. And then we were like talking to a doctor because I was just like, we were told that this was just a fluke. It wasn't going to happen again. And now how many times do I have to go through this? Like, I should just give up. I didn't want to have any more kids because I was like, I don't want to go through that again. And I was scared to go through that again. And so we got pregnant again. It wasn't even really planned. We were just like, oh no. And I started crying because I wasn't even excited at that point. I remember being just like, it's going to happen again. I was so sure that there was no way I could have a healthy baby again. Like, I was so sure. The enemy had so deceived me and so planted that fear in my heart that I didn't trust God at all. And all through my pregnancy, I remember every week that went by, I was just like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, 24 weeks, 36 weeks, just all through the whole pregnancy. She was born. And I was like, something's going to happen. Like, in my head, it was so weird. I had believed the enemy so much that I was sure, even after Presley was born, that there's no way she was going to live. And I had believed that. And then it made it actually really difficult for me to connect with her after she was born because I was so, like, fearful. And so I just, like, remember at one point I was on my knees and I was just praying because I was feeling so, like, anxious and discouraged. And I felt like God was just telling me that I had believed a lie of the enemy. And that I believed that I couldn't trust God with my kids. That was the lie that I believed. And the second lie I believed is that there was nothing I could do to fight for them. And that thought that I had with my son when I was pregnant with him at 8 months, when I said I wish I could just keep him in my womb so I could protect him, I had believed a lie then. Because I was like, well, I can protect him. That's not my job. There's all these lies that I believed along the way that made me this fearful, anxious person, and God asked me to surrender those things to him in that moment. And it hasn't been easy. It's not like I just was like, yes, like I'm fine now. But God worked through that fear in me at that point, and he was like, this is not okay. And now I can recognize when the lies of the enemy are trying to implant themselves in my heart and trying to keep me from parenting my kids in a fearless way. Sorry, I'm like ahead of myself now. As Christians, we need to understand that we do have an enemy. And we need to understand that we don't have to fear him. And I think sometimes we think that it's okay to be cautious, all that other stuff. But God actually gives us everything that we need to fight this battle. So we have to have no fear. And I believe that God wants us to rise as moms and actually fight the real enemy. Pick up our weapons and actually fight against the things that are going on. We're not powerless. We don't have to just let these things happen to our kids. We should get righteously angry when the enemy tries to take our kids. We shouldn't be okay with that. And God wants us to fight, and he actually wants us to not feed our fear, but actually feed our faith. He wants us to starve our fear. And what we do when we starve our fear is we don't give in to it. So if you're feeling afraid about some part of your life, as a mom, if you're afraid for your kids, whatever it is, if you give into that fear, you're feeding it. You're letting it grow, and it's getting in, growing into something that's actually going to be destructive to you and to your families. This means that we give our fear to God, and we allow Him to grow our faith. And when we feel scared, and when we feel discouraged, we get on our knees in prayer, and we fight for them there. And we feel we have no power, we get on our knees, and we fight for them. And we communicate with them, and we let them know that they are loved. We let them know that it doesn't matter what you do, I'm here for you. I'm a safe place. I'm not going to attack you because I love you and I want you to know you can come to me. And if we do this, we will see our kids walk in freedom and the enemy will flee from them. I fully believe that. He will flee from us. He will flee from them because of God in us. And then we will see a generation of our kids rise and they will actually go into our cities and fight for Christ and they will win our cities for Jesus. That generation will rise. And as women, we are called not only to be helpers to our husbands, but to be helpers to our kids. We can be helpers and we can show them who Christ is in our life. And we can help them by doing spiritual warfare for them in prayer. And we can help them know and understand how to navigate through these difficult and challenging things that they're facing in their schools, in their cities, in their future jobs. And we can do our part in growing closer to God so He can shape our heart and He can speak to us so that we can speak to them. And most importantly, we can teach them what it looks like to be brave. We could teach them what it looks like to not be afraid of anything because of who lives in us and what He did for us. And God, the one that we're teaching them about, God Almighty, who formed the ground that they walk on, who gave them life, He is fighting for them. But we don't act like it sometimes. He's fighting for them, and He actually wants us to come alongside and intercede for them. No scheme or plan of the enemy will prevail. Nothing that he has tried to put in them or plant in them or grow in them will prevail against them. Because you as a mom can fight against that. God has given you the tools. He has given you the authority. So we can have no fear in prayer. We can have no fear in communication and no fear in relationships with our kids. And we can walk this out daily. We can remind them that God's perfect love drives out that fear. And we can walk it out and we can show them what that looks like. And so as I close off, I wanted to pray for all the moms here. So if you're a mom, just stand up. Doesn't matter if you have kids that are adults or what it is. But I just want to pray for each of the moms here, because we're so blessed and honored to have you here, and all that you do for your kids, we're just so blessed. So I just want to pray and commission you as moms into what God's called you to do in your families. God, I just thank you. I thank you so much that you love each of the moms here, and that you love their kids even more than they do. God, I pray that you would remind us what you've done, not just for us here in this room, but for our children. And that you would remind us how much you love our children and how greatly you desire for them to walk with you. That we would remember who is fighting, not just for us, but for them. And that we would get alongside you, we would pick up our weapons, and that we would aim them towards the enemy, that he would have no authority in our kids' lives. And we pray right now for each kid that is represented here today, that you would help them to know you. That you would help us as moms to know how to instruct them and how to love them and how to show them who you are in just day-to-day life. That we would know that there is value in what we're doing. That if we feel unappreciated, that we would know that there's so much value in what we're doing. And that that generation that is rising up is a result of everything we're investing in them now. That you would give each mom in here strength. That you would give them courage and bravery to go out into the city and into their homes and to actually fight that battle for their kids' eternities. That they wouldn't be afraid of the enemy, that you would just give them the boldness and the most courageous spirit, that they would be able to fight on behalf of their children, that they would know what's at stake, and that every day they would put on their armor and they would pick up their swords and they would go forward with no fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kristen. That was great. And you know what? I want to encourage you grandmas, right? And maybe you, those older people who haven't, you know, your kids have fallen away from God. And I want to encourage you here this morning. I want to encourage you that God has not forgotten them. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will see the harvest, right? I just think it's interesting. There's one thing I want to share quickly with you. This past week, her talking about the enemy, and God gave me like strategic things this week for my kids. And so I'm going to tell you quickly. We were at dance the other day, and Amberlyn, dance hadn't even started, and I am thankful I was sitting there. She ran out of the dance room bawling her eyes out, like bawling. And I was like, what is going on? What happened? And she is sobbing in front of me. And my heart just sank. I was like, what did somebody do to you? What happened? And it's so important for us to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that we wrestle against principalities over our children. And at that moment, I'm not even going to tell you what the other kid said to her. But she told me through her sobbing, and everything within me wanted to get up and run in that dance room and take a piece out of that kid. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit quickly say to me, you sit down, you deal with your child, but you don't play that blame game. You don't go and destroy another child who was speaking out of whatever, because your child's hurting right in front of you. You deal with the moment you have before you, and you speak life into your child. And I looked at her, and I said, Amberlyn, what is the truth about who you are? And she said to me, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, called with a purpose. And I want you to know that in that moment, I resonate so much with what Kristen said, because it was like downloaded on me. And it was like, God was like, Natalie, the enemy is out to take out your kids. You know what, with Amberlyn, I had just finished saying about the confidence that she has in her dance. I'm like, the confidence that she has to get up there and dance in front of people. And what was the first thing the enemy tried to take away from her? She didn't want to go back in that dance room. And I was like, uh-uh. And I just want you to know that she spoke the truth over her life. The teacher dealt with what she needed to deal with. There was stories. I said, Amberlyn, you look and you forgive her. You forgive her. And then God just started to say to me, Natalie, Amberlyn will deal with confidence. That will be the thing that the enemy will want to take from her. And let me tell you, I just started to pray with Zach. Lately, it's been his belonging. He came to us and he said, am I adopted? Another little kid had told him. And I'm like, oh no, like you belong to us, Zach. You've always belonged to us. And number three, with Abby, I can tell you it's shame over her. And I tell you these things because God this past week clearly said to me, you start praying those things over your kids. It's not that they're never going to deal with those things. He comes to steal and destroy, but we have the power in the name of Jesus. You know what? You grandmas, you older women, we need you. I know it's the prayers of my parents that have gone before me that I can stand here in the strength of Christ and say, uh-uh, no way, not today, not today. My kids are planted in Christ and who they are. And so if I can encourage you, grandmas especially, we need your prayers. We need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for your kids and not grow weary in doing good of what God has called you to do. And with that, as you leave today, the kids have put together some nice little presents for you. And the plants, I'm just going to be honest with you, like, I had some help, but God chose the least green thumb people in the church to plant those plants. Just saying. So Like, we planted them a little bit late, but I want you to know that these pots have seeds in them. And, okay, and there are marigolds in them, and we want you to go and have them, and you nurture them, and you plant them, because if I would have planted them any sooner, they would have died. So, I'm just praying that they come up with life. I just declare that right now over the plants that they will sprout life in Jesus' name. But please come have lunch with us. And you know what would be awesome? If we could have some men stay and help clean up after today, because I don't think we have very many people over there helping. We need people to serve and to help clean up. So that would be lovely. So go in the peace of God and have a great week.